Good morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord today. I'd like to especially welcome some guests, worship guests who are here. Some family is in town, and some of you from St. Mark's have brought your friends to St. Mark's today. It's a great day. We appreciate you being here to share God's house with you, to share God's word with you. This is a special day in the church year as we are wrapping up another year of the church year calendar. We entrusted the last year to Christ our King, and he certainly blessed that year. And so we go confidently into the next year knowing that Christ our King is going to bless us as well. Today I want to share with you why you can have confidence in Christ your King. Because he and he alone can bring you peace. Because his rule is a rule of love. His rule over you is a rule of forgiveness. His rule over you is a rule of promise. I look forward to celebrating Christ the King Sunday with you and worshiping with you today. The order of worship that we'll follow is a special order of service printed completely in the worship folder. If you didn't get one on the way in, now's a good time to get Mr. Lederman's attention, and he'll make sure that you have one. Would like to especially have you look at the worship notes when it comes to singing the verse of the day and the psalm of the day. The soloists will introduce the refrain, and then we will join together in singing the refrain. And then as the refrains come up in those songs, our job will to join the soloists in singing that. So please note especially the worship directions for today. Our opening hymn for this morning is hymn 341, Let Us Worship the Lord. Our worship continues on page 3 in the worship booklet. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty.
The Lord is robed in majesty.
He is armed with strength.
The Lord reigns.
The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved.
Your throne was established long ago.
You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, O Lord.
The seas have lifted up their
pounding waves.
The Lord reigns.
Mightier than a thunder of the great waters.
Mightier than the breakers of the sea.
The Lord on high is mighty.
The Lord reigns.
Your statutes stand firm. For endless days, O Lord.
The Lord reigns.
Glory to God in the highest. Sing glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. And peace to his people on earth.
Jesus Christ, by your victory, you have broken the power of the evil one. Fill our hearts with joy and peace as we look with hope to that day when every creature in heaven and earth will acclaim you, King of kings and Lord of lords, to your unending praise and glory. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The scripture lessons for this morning are really the basis, the foundation that the anthem was based on. These promises from scripture, they begin on the bottom of page 5. The first lesson for this morning is recorded in Daniel chapter 7, where the Lord gave Daniel a vision of the power of Christ, his King. And by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Daniel shares that with you this morning as well. In my vision, at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. This is the word of the Lord. The psalm of the day is on page 6, Psalm 97. The second lesson is recorded in Revelation chapter 1. This lesson will be the basis for my sermon this morning. And as it's read, just note that his rule is a rule of strength to give you peace. Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was
and who is to come, the Almighty.
This is the word of the Lord. Show respect for the words of Jesus. We stand as the gospel is read. Please stand. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 18. In this lesson, Jesus reminded Pilate, and he reminds you, that he has better things to do with his almighty power than to fight battles here on earth. His kingdom is a heavenly kingdom. His victory is a spiritual victory for you and for me. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day, number 217.
Thank you. in the name of him who fought for you and won to bring you peace.
Can you think of a time in this world where there was actually peace in the world?
I think you could make an argument, but post-Eden,
I don't know if there's ever a time that the world has been at peace.
You can go back and you can look at King David. I think he's a pretty good example. After King David was done fighting, and after the boundaries of the kingdom had been expanded to where they never had been before, maybe you could say there was peace in the kingdom. But what about in another land and in another kingdom? Was there really no fighting going on anywhere in the world because, well, David won? What about in David's personal life? David's conscience. Do you think there was really peace there without Christ as king? Or maybe some of you are history buffs and you appreciate World War II and all the fantastic things that our country did during that time and the greatest generation of people that made that possible. When they all came home, was there really peace? Peace in the world? What about what those guys brought home with them? Were they really at peace? Were we just ramping up for the next conflict and then we sent some more people off? Has there ever really been a time in this world where there's been peace? It's tough to answer, especially without Christ our King in the picture.
Which this morning is why we are reminded that we are part of a powerful kingdom with a powerful king who brings peace like nobody else can bring peace to this world and bring peace to your lives. Here's how he says it: grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting that it's not like something happened in the world and God said, oh no, we need a king, and we need the King of Peace, and we need to send him now. Because even before the Bible was written down, even before Adam and Eve needed a king, even before anybody needed peace in the world, Jesus was. And the peace that Jesus brings was there. And his job was to come into this world to show us and to be it for us. And here's how he did that. This is talking about Jesus, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. First, he establishes peace by the fact that Jesus is truth and Jesus speaks the truth. He's the faithful witness. Not only did Jesus come into this world saying everything that the Old Testament said, he actually came and lived it, and he did it. And he fulfilled those promises. To the extent that he is called the firstborn from among the dead. Just like the Old Testament promised, somebody was going to come and sacrifice for the world. And Jesus did that. And it was promised that he was going to be the firstborn from among the dead to rise again. And that's exactly what Jesus did. The faithful witness rose again from the dead. He is the firstborn from among the dead, meaning that because Jesus lives, you too live. That because Jesus lives forever, we are going to live forever with God too. That is how Jesus establishes peace. And although we are people of God and we know that and we value that peace and we treasure that peace, it is so easy for us to see what's going on out there or to feel what's going on in here and wonder, can I really be at peace? Do I really have Christ the King, Christ my King? Which is why it is also promised that he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. You stop and think what the kings of this earth have thrown at Jesus, thrown up against his kingdom, attacks on his kingdom. Very powerful man, one of the greatest kings of the world, the king of Egypt, Pharaoh of Egypt. He tried to stop God. He tried to stop God by enslaving his people. But do you know what happened when the time was right? The plagues, the Exodus, crossing the Red Sea, God is done with Pharaoh.
Christ the King is the King even of the rulers of this earth. And then another problem, when they get to the promised land, big, powerful, giant kings are in God's promised land. Christ the King acts, and what happens? You cross the Jordan River on dry ground. The walls of Jericho come tumbling down, and the next thing you know, a shepherd is the king of the most powerful kingdom now in the area. When the time was right, Christ the King showed he is the ruler even of the kings of this age. Even over Satan, the king, the ruler of this world, who opposed God and his plan at every step. And he had a pretty good one, didn't he? We had a little hint of it in the gospel for today. His plan, I'm going to attack God's plan of salvation. I'm going to attack the Messiah. He is supposed to be the faithful witness, the firstborn from among the dead. And it's a brilliant plan. And it would make a fantastic movie. Satan infiltrates God's priesthood right in the temple. That's where he gets them. And he uses the priests to bring down the Messiah. And then he infiltrates Jesus' 12 closest friends, and he gets one, and he turns one, and that guy betrays Jesus. And then the military might, the political scene, Satan throws his control over that too, and he gets Pilate to condemn Jesus. He gets Roman soldiers to nail Jesus to a cross. And when it looks like Jesus is done, he rises from the grave. The faithful testimony, the first fruits from among the dead. Jesus is your King who lives to bring you peace. Him who is and who was and who is to come. He is Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of this earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. By his blood, his plan worked. By his blood, you are free. By his blood, you are brought into God's kingdom. By his blood, he brings you peace. But just like every kingdom needs some rebels, this kingdom also has some rebels. And I think it's a kind of fun to maybe open up the Bible and to see all the rebels and to say the Canaanites were the rebels, the Moabites were the rebels, or whatever your favorite ite is, you can look at them and see the horrible things they did. Those guys were the rebels, and Christ the King took care of them. Or maybe you like to look into your life, people who make your life miserable, they want nothing to do with Jesus, and you say, those guys are the rebels. Or you look at some of the dictators, evil people in the world, who take the power that's given them and do horrible things with it, and you say, those guys, they're the troublemakers, they are the rebels, and I can't wait for Christ the King to squash them. The terrorists, people who do horrible things, just kill people to show how powerful they are, to make everybody afraid of them, those guys are the rebels. And I would say, okay. But you know what rebels we need to be concerned about most today? They're the rebels who are sitting in this room. And they're the rebels that are sitting in your spot right now. And it's the rebel that's standing in your pulpit right now. Because I don't know what else you call it. When Christ your King has done all of this for you and for me, and by his blood he brings us into his kingdom and he makes us priests. He makes us royal, loyal subjects in his kingdom. And he says, I love you. And he sets up his laws and his rules because he says, I made you and I know what's best for you. And I want to bless you and I want you to get the most out of this life. So follow these rules and everything will be very good. And then we rebel against him. What else do you call it when that king says, do this because I love you, and you don't? Or don't do this because I love you and it's not good for you, and then you do it? And I know sometimes you are the victim, Sometimes there's a rebellion over here and they bring you in and you get sucked in and you get wrapped up in that rebellion. But there's probably also times that you started the rebellion and then you got other people to come and join in your rebellion. And then there's probably other times that you're happy just to be a rebellion of one, right? And nobody else ever finds out about what you're doing. You go visit the kingdom next door, even though Jesus Christ your King has loved you and saved you and blesses you. And then you go fill up on some of the yuck, and then you come back to the kingdom, and what was in here now starts to show itself in your life and in how you think and in how you talk. I don't know what other than rebellion you call that. Because maybe you can blame someone else. Well, I got sucked in this way. Or maybe you can say, it's not really a rebellion. It's just me being human. Or maybe it's not that bad. I was all by myself and didn't hurt anybody. It doesn't matter what you call it. It's still a rebellion. And how do kings, you watch a little TV, watch some movies, maybe read history, how do kings deal with rebels? You know, I suppose depending on what kind of a stink they're causing, maybe sometimes you just throw them a token grace, whatever it is they want, you give it to them so they shut up, and then they go off and go do whatever it is, and you don't really care about them. Maybe sometimes you have some mediators, especially if it's with a neighboring kingdom, and you all get together, and the king says, okay, you want to do this? Fine. I'll take it back. You're free to go do that. And you want to break this rule? Okay, if you give me this one, I'll give you that one. I think that's how kings do it, because then you maintain peace in the kingdom. Other times, you squash them. You round up the rebels, you arrest them, you put them in the torture room, you keep them in the torture chamber. Maybe some of them you put up on crosses and say, if you do this, this is what I'm going to do to you. How does Jesus deal with rebels in his kingdom? He loves them and forgives them. He goes to the torture chamber for them. And he suffered very intensely on the cross for the rebels in his kingdom. And as he was hanging on the cross, he suffered the eternal torture chamber that all rebels deserve to be in when he said the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's what Christ the King does for rebels. And it's interesting, too, that he would put himself under the laws that he made as king. And he kept those laws perfectly for you. He never hopped the border to see what was going on next door in the kingdom. He never dabbled in some of the filth or whatever is going on. And then he never brought it back over. And that's the perfect life that he lived for you. And that's the perfect life that he presents before the king for you. That's how he has made you his holy, royal, loyal subjects. He probably would have been justified by smashing all of us, squashing the rebellion right now, right here. But Christ, your King, brings peace by his blood. Christ, your King, loves and forgives the rebels to keep them part of his kingdom. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And on top of that promise, he promises one day he's going to make everything right. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. You know, isn't it kind of frustrating when it seems like the world just isn't listening to Christ the King? You know, the good news of Jesus has been around for so long, and you look at what's going on out there, and it looks so bad. And you think, when is this ever going to end? Why doesn't Christ the King do something? And he promises when the time is right, he'll do something. If it's a temporary problem in your life, he'll fix it. when the time is right. If it's something you're suffering with, he'll solve it. He'll heal it when the time is right. And he makes that promise in an interesting way. There's a little bit of culture going on in this lesson. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. You know, in Jesus' day, they would have funeral processions. They would have weeping and wailing. And then oftentimes it would go to the tomb, and then you would come back to the home. And probably one of the most disrespectful things you could ever do would be to start laughing and mocking the family, making fun of the person who passed away. Do you think there was any laughing and mocking when these priests, when the Roman soldiers killed Jesus? And he is suffering and dying on the cross. And a lot of people around the cross are mourning, but not the high priests. You know, they're laughing. They won. Certainly not Satan. Look at all the misery he's causing. He's winning. And how hard that must have been for Jesus' mom and for Jesus' disciples. You know, we trusted in Jesus. When is this going to stop? When is he going to rule? And then on Easter Sunday, he rose again as the firstborn from among the dead. And that's what it meant. And then he came again at Pentecost and filled them with the courage and conviction to go and share the good news that Jesus lives. When the time was right, Jesus took care of everything. And when the time is right, the high priests and the Roman soldiers and everybody who has ever rejected and denied Jesus as king, they're not going to have the option to not participate in the funeral procession again. We are told everybody is going to see him. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. And it's more than a good, right? I'm glad those people are going to get theirs in the end. It's more than just finally Christ the King is going to come, and he's going to stomp them, and he's going to squash them, and he's going to crush them for how horrible they were. Isn't it really more of a comfort of knowing that when the time is right, Christ the King is going to do what's right for you? Especially if it's something that you're struggling with and it really troubles you and it's a guilty thought. Christ the King is going to come and take care of that for you, because by his blood he brings you peace, because he loves the rebels in his kingdom, and he is the firstborn from among the dead. He's going to take care of that. And whether it's some of the crazy stuff you see on TV or some of the crazy stuff going on in your life, or it's probably when the gospel just doesn't seem to be working and you share it over and over again, have the confidence in Christ your King that when the time is right, he's going to take care of it. When the time is right, the word is going to take seed and it's going to produce fruit. And you might not even know when Christ is going to win that victory for you through his word, but it's working. Just like Jesus asked his disciples to have patience until they saw the end result, Jesus' mother had to have patience until she saw the end result. Have patience and faithfully share Christ your King, because he's doing the work and he's winning victories for you and through you. Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." You might never see those victories, but those victories are happening because you live in a powerful kingdom with a powerful King who rules to bring you peace, who rules to love the rebels, and who rules to come and take care of things for you at just the right time. To him alone be the glory. Amen. Please stand. And we encourage one another while we wait for Christ our King by confessing our Christian faith together. This morning we have the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 8 in the worship booklet. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated as we worship our King with our offerings. Our service continues on page 9 with a responsive prayer of the church. The prayers of our church family have been requested by Tom and Pam Schlittenhart. Their daughter-in-law, Jenny Schlittenhart, was recently diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 38 and will soon undergo surgery, so we will keep her in our prayers. We also have some good things to pray for. Brett and Adrian Bengel were called to be our 5th and 6th grade teacher and also a part-time upper grades teacher, so we ask that God will bless their deliberations. We continue with the responsive prayer of the church. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. You are worthy, O Christ our King, to receive honor and glory and praise. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being.
Alleluia, for our Lord God Almighty grace.
You are worthy, O Christ our King, to receive honor and glory and praise because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased us for God. From every tribe and language and people and nation, you have called us into your kingdom and have made us priests to serve you, our God and Father. We give thanks to you, O Christ, our Shepherd King, because you have searched for us and found us. Lead us to the green pastures and quiet waters of your saving love, so that we may enjoy peace and comfort for our souls.
Heal our hearts when we are willing to sin and guilt. Strengthen us when we are weak.
We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. Come with your mighty power to break and defeat every evil plan and purpose of the devil, of the ungodly influences and ideas of the world, and of our own sinful nature. Use your power to calm the unrest among nations and peoples so that your kingdom may spread and grow.
Strengthen our confidence in knowing that your kingdom will never be destroyed.
O Christ, our King, you have supremacy over all. You will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. You have destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Reign in our hearts that we may serve you more faithfully and speak more boldly to others of your saving love.
Praise be to the Lord God, who alone does marvelous deeds. May the whole earth be filled with his glory.
Dear Christ the King, we thank you for the privilege to come before your throne and ask you for anything. This day we ask that you would be with Jenny Schlittenhart. We ask that if it is your will that you would relieve her distress, strengthen her faith, and grant her a recovery from her cancer according to your will. We commend her into your care as she undergoes surgery. We pray that you would grant success to the surgery and bring about a full and speedy recovery, again if that is your will. Until that day, we ask that you would keep Jenny and her family close to you and strong in their faith. Remind them that they have a king who is fighting for them and that nothing happens outside of your love and your care. We also ask that you would be with the whole Schlittenhart family. As news like this can be very unsettling and very disturbing, we ask that you not only rally them together around their love for one another, but especially gather them together and rally them together around your great love for Jenny and for all of them. We ask that you be with them and bless them. We also thank you this morning for the privilege of being part of your holy ministry. We thank you for the blessing of a Lutheran elementary school, and we thank you that you have enabled us to extend a call to the Bengals. We ask that you would guide them and bless them in their current ministry. We ask that you would glorify your name and further your kingdom through their deliberations and the decision that they will make. If it is your will, we ask that you would bring them here, that they can serve alongside of us in our ministry, and we trust also that you would then send, that you would send ministers to replace them. Above all, may your name be praised. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever, King of kings and Lord of lords.
The Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. Amen.
Our next hymn is hymn 728. You will find this one in the blue hymnal, number 728.
Thank you.
worship booklet for our closing prayers. Please stand. Almighty God, grant to your church the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word from being freely proclaimed to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that we may serve you in steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Again, and greetings in the name of the King. May he give you peace not only today, not only in the week ahead, but peace for eternity. Yet if you are a worship guest and you would like to visit a little bit about how we can serve you with our ministry and the good news of Jesus, I'd be more than happy to chat for a little bit in the lobby or to set up a time that we could get together. I would enjoy that very much. I have a number of announcements to share with you, but the first one is a confession. Last week during the voters meeting, and I'm going to blame the rebel who was sitting next to me, he got me in trouble. Last week during the voters meeting, and it was when papers were being handed out, so it's okay, I leaned over and I asked if he knew the score of a football game. Oh, it gets worse. And so he didn't know, so I pulled out my phone, and I was going to check in on the score of this football game, and I saw that I had a text from my wife. And so I read the text, and she said, "You just had an interesting phone call at home." And so right away, I knew exactly what that was code for, so I texted her back, and I made her tell me exactly what she was talking about. And she said, "Well, Daniel Johnson, the chairman of Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Las Vegas, Nevada, called and said that they just issued you a call to come and be their pastor." So never text during a voters meeting or a call meeting. Bad things happen. But it's a small mission church on the northwest corner of the Las Vegas Valley. They had a pastor there for 4 years, and then he took a call. So that's the call that I'm currently holding in addition to the one that I hold to serve you. So I would appreciate your prayers. I would appreciate your thoughts. If you'd like to get together, coffee always works. But do pray for me. Pray for our brothers and sisters in Las Vegas as they are without a shepherd. And we will ask that God's will be done and his kingdom furthered and his name glorified. As I mentioned in the prayer, we called two teachers. There's information about that call in the weekly news. So take a look at that. Also in the weekly news, there is an announcement about Advent by candlelight. An encouragement to sign up as that event is coming up next Sunday. So if you would like to come but haven't got around to signing up yet, please do that. If you volunteered and maybe even dropped off some Christmas china for that event, the plans have changed and they're not going to use those for place settings anymore. So the committee says, thank you very much for the offer, but it didn't work out to use those this year, so make sure you pick that up. Also on your way out, you're going to get envelopes containing these. This is from the LWMS, the Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, here at St. Mark's. And we adopt missionaries, both a home missionary and a world missionary. And there's an envelope so that you can write a word of encouragement to each of them. There's a pink sheet that has some explanation about this program and maybe some things that you could share with them. The only thing they ask is that you use these envelopes and don't change the address label or include anything else on here, like a sticker that says, Jesus bless you. Because where these are going, there are certain rules and guidelines that our missionaries need to follow, and we could cause trouble for them. So please use these envelopes, write your encouragements, and then you can mail them here. If you would like us to do the postage for you, you can fill them out and bring them back, and we'll take care of that. So you will get these on your way out, and please drop our missionaries a note, a word of encouragement. Is anyone willing to lead the craft portion of Christmas for Kids? That is going to be the first Saturday in December. We have plans, and it is covered, but we could use a little bit of help. So if you would like to help with crafts for Christmas for Kids, please talk with Trish Peterson, and she can get you set up with a really neat church job and a way to help and to serve. Also, the Board of Stewardship has your offering commitment packets. Those packets are very helpful in helping the board and the financial secretary set the budget for the upcoming year, which helps us plan our ministry for the upcoming year. Those are available for you as soon as you go out the doors, take a left. You'll see the yellow partitions that the envelopes are labeled alphabetically. Take yours home and work through that material, and then you can bring it back and put it in the box. Mr. Bauer has a fun announcement to share with us this morning as well.
I'm going to borrow just a couple moments of your time. You can see on the screens, KCRA News has something to do with that. A couple weeks back, KCRA News visited our school and did a feature on our school's physical fitness program. Our school is somewhat unique in that we place a strong emphasis on physical fitness. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, our students do some endurance running in the morning. And they go out and run a mile, in some cases almost 2 miles, during a certain amount of time. And then on Tuesday and Thursday, we shake it up with some different forms of physical fitness work as well. This school year, we found out about something called the Billion Mile Race, being sponsored by New Balance, the tennis shoe maker. The Billion Mile Race is challenging students around our nation to collectively run and log 1 billion miles in order to help children be physically fit and to help fight childhood obesity. So this is something that we were already doing. We were already running and we were already keeping track of our miles because at the end of the school year, we reward the students based on how many miles they've run during the year. So we started logging our miles with New Balance, the Billion Mile Race, and it turns out that someone from KCRA found out about the Billion Mile Race, looked into which schools in the Sacramento area were participating, and found out that St. Mark's is by far and away logging the most miles. So they contacted us about coming and doing a feature on our school's participation. So that's what we're going to be watching this morning. It's just going to take a couple minutes. Some of you may have seen this on TV. Otherwise, we've tried to sow the seed with Facebook the best that we can. But it's a little bit of a treat to share with you our school getting some publicity through the news. So enjoy.
Well, running a billion miles sounds like a pretty impossible job, but add the help of school kids from all across the country and suddenly it seems kind of possible. KCRA3's Teo Torres takes us to a Sacramento County school that's on a mission to help end childhood obesity.
Monday mornings at St. Mark's Lutheran School in Citrus Heights are all about sweating it out.
Good job, Cooper. How do we OJ?
In fact, a morning run is part of their morning routine.
I really like it. It's fun to see if you can push yourself to an extra lap. 22!
And all those laps turn into miles.
That way, guys.
Those miles are turned into the New Balance Foundation Billion Mile Race website.
I just got an email about it, and it was something really easy for us to do because we were running already anyway, and keeping track of our miles.
The race's slogan, Active Kids Do Better. It's a belief St. Mark's can embrace.
Excuse me, bud.
As this school and countless more across the state and the nation hope to run 1 billion miles to fight childhood obesity.
This is Paula. I'm on KCR3 today. Thank you very much.
Paulo Ionescu perspires while aspiring to run just one more lap.
For me, I would like to try to get 200 miles by the end of the year. But my height is like 120 something.
200 miles closer to 1 billion. 200 miles closer to spreading an important message.
And hopefully some of these things we're doing in our school are becoming lifelong habits that the kids will take with them.
Teo Torres, KCRA 3 News.
Currently, St. Mark's has logged about 2,700 miles. Their goal, just at that one school, is a total of 7,000 miles by the end of the school year. And Paolo is pretty impressive, you know, shooting himself as he's running.
That's the new generation, and yeah, he made it look easy, too. Good for him, and good for all of them, actually.
One other quick thing I forgot to mention. Collectively, the nation's children are at about 10 million miles, so we have to multiply that effort by 100 to get to a billion, so we have a long way to go. We're at about 3,000 in our school right now, and our goal is to get 7,000 by the end of the year, which we're on track to do. So it's exciting, and it's a lot of fun, and it's helping the children. Thank you again for your time, and as you leave this morning, please greet your brothers and sisters in Christ, and may God richly bless the week ahead, especially the Thanksgiving celebration on Thursday. Thank you.